Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Batsara, and Shifra Batsara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Ramir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on the program this week. The first is something that you won't hear from other people, but what should Donald Trump have done? How could he have built his wall? In fact, his wall would have been completed by now if he had done what we're going to outline for you on this program. And if Ted Cruz had been president, we're going to tell you what would have been done. How the wall could have been built by now if you hadn't had an incompetent buffoon in the White House. And the second subject we want to discuss is Moshe Feiglin's housing plan for Israel, because there's a terrible housing crisis in Israel. Most Israelis are priced out of the housing market. Moshe Feiglin has solutions that can solve this problem. And we're going to explain to you how Moshe Feiglin from the Zehut Party, whom we are supporting in the upcoming Israeli Knesset elections on April 9th, how Moshe Feiglin would deal with this crisis. Okay, let's start off, though, with Donald Trump and the wall. We're now 3.5 weeks into this shutdown, partial shutdown of the government, which doesn't bother us, by the way. I think most of the federal government shouldn't exist. I think most of the federal government is unconstitutional, shouldn't exist, and hurts actually the American economy and American society. But putting that aside, Donald Trump is making conservatism and republicanism extremely unpopular among a majority of the American people. Majority of the American people do not agree with what Donald Trump is doing and do not support his policies. And so I believe he's going to be defeated for re-election if we continue like this. In 2 years from now, he'll be defeated from re-election and we'll have a socialist Democrat in the White House, God forbid. So I think we have a very serious problem ahead of us. And Donald Trump is making this stand on the issue of the wall. But he's already given in. He's already given in. First of all, for the first 2 years of his presidency, no wall has been built. There has been no progress on building any wall. No money has been appropriated for the wall. Nothing has been built for the past 2 years. Donald Trump lies, and his stupid followers believe his filthy lies. He claims that we have to continue building the wall. We've already built major parts of the wall. Complete fantasy. No wall has been built anywhere. The only thing they did were repairs on the fence that Barack Hussein Obama installed. So, repairing Obama's fence, that's what Donald Trump calls a wall? There is no wall. There is no fantasy wall that has been built during Trump's first 2 years in the White House. But anyway, what could Donald Trump have done differently? He's incompetent. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's a buffoon, and he really is a clown and a buffoon. If you had a real president, a real leader in the White House like Ted Cruz, here's what could have and should have been done. And Donald Trump briefly proposed doing this, but immediately backed down and immediately backed away. And, you know, he has the attention span of a fly, of a mosquito, Donald Trump. So he's unable to create the type of immediate, decisive leadership that would lead to the building of a wall. But let's assume you had a competent, strong, forceful president in office like Ted Cruz. What could he have done? He takes office 2 years ago on January 20th, 2017. And the first thing he does is even before he becomes president, the first thing he does is demand that the Republicans in the Congress, the Republican majority, Mitch McConnell, the Republican majority, use the nuclear option. What is the nuclear option? The Republicans had control of both houses of Congress. They had control of the U.S. House of Representatives, and they had control of the U.S. Senate. For the first 2 years of Trump's presidency, there was a Republican majority in both houses of Congress, so they should easily have been able to get the money for the wall. And in fact, the Republican House did appropriate the money for the wall. They gave Trump $5.7 billion for the wall. So the House passed it, but the Senate didn't pass it because they have a stupid filibuster rule. Instead of just requiring 51 out of 100 senators, they allow the minority to filibuster, and then you need 60 out of 100 senators to break a filibuster. So the Democrats, the breakdown in the Senate was 51 to 49. Republicans had a majority, but 49 Democrats, so they were easily able to block what Trump was proposing for the wall by filibustering. And to break the filibuster, you needed 60 votes. And since the Democrats had 49 out of 100 senators, they had more than enough to prevent the Republicans from getting the 60 votes they needed in the Senate to build the wall. Okay, I hope that's comprehensible. Now, what could have been done then? You can't get the 60 votes, you're blocked. What could you do? Very simple. There's something called the nuclear option. What you do is you eliminate the filibuster for appropriations. You eliminate the filibuster. And this is, by the way, the filibuster was eliminated when it comes to judicial appointments. If there had been a filibuster, the two Supreme Court justices that Trump appointed would never have been approved. But Mitch McConnell and the Republicans eliminated the filibuster in order to approve Trump's two Supreme Court justices. By the way, his two Supreme Court justices were both establishment Republicans and phony conservatives. They're not real conservatives. They're phony establishment Republicans. And for those of you who are impressed with the fact that Trump appointed two members of the Supreme Court and keep telling me, oh, you got to give him credit for that. I give him no credit for that. He appointed the same people that Jeb Bush would have appointed. Why not? You could have supported Jeb Bush for president. Kavanaugh was Jeb Bush's chief of staff, was from the Jeb Bush's administration. He's a Jeb Bush Republican. Both of Trump's appointments are establishment Bush Republicans. Big deal. We could have supported Bush for president if that's what you wanted. That's the big change of making America great again. The Bush Republicans on the Supreme Court have given us Obamacare and have given us all the disasters we've had in recent years. Abortion on demand, Obamacare, forcing everybody to accept gay marriage. This is all from Bush Republicans have given us these rulings. So we've gotten something good out of the court because Trump's appointed two Supreme Court justices. But anyway, let's put that aside for now. He got those Supreme Court justices approved because they used the nuclear option. They eliminated the 60-vote filibuster requirement when it came to approving judges for the Supreme Court and judges for the courts in general, for the U.S. District Courts and for the U.S. Court of Appeals. They could have done the same thing when it comes to appropriating the money for the wall. They could have said, we're eliminating the filibuster for this. Mitch McConnell easily could have done it. The Republicans in the Congress and the Senate could easily have done it. But they didn't do it because Trump initially suggested they do it. He tweeted this as a suggestion, but Mitch McConnell rejected it. What Trump should have done is make clear to McConnell that you must do this. This is a priority. And if you don't do it, we're going to remove you as Senate Majority Leader, and I'm going to primary you, and I'm going to make sure that you're defeated for re-election. Then McConnell would have done what Trump asks him to do. If Trump had insisted, the majority of Republicans support Trump, and McConnell would have had no choice. And so you could have had the nuclear option used. And a simple majority would have to approve appropriations for the Department of Homeland Security, which is where Trump would get the money for the wall. For appropriations, you would have had just a simple majority. In fact, for many budgetary matters, right now you only need a simple majority for certain budgetary matters already. You just would have had to extend that to funding the Department of Homeland Security and making the funding necessary for the wall. And this should have been done immediately on day one when Trump became president. In fact, before he became president, while he was still president-elect, he should have made it clear to Senate Republicans that he expects them to get this money through, and he expects that wall the building on the wall, and appropriation for the wall, he expects that to come immediately. And that is something that if a no-compromise situation there, that if they don't do that, he is going to work to defeat them and bring them down and defeat them for re-election. If he had made that clear from the start, the Senate Republicans would have cooperated with him. They would have had no choice. They would have had no choice because the vast majority of their Republican constituents, of the Republican base, would have turned on them if they didn't do that. And they would have no chance of staying in the Senate. They would have no chance of having Republican support. So Trump could have forced that issue. He could have forced that on the Republicans, just as did happen. That did happen when it came to appointing judges. They did do it for judges. Why couldn't they do it to fund the Department of Homeland Security, where they get the money for the wall? They could have done it immediately. Ted Cruz would have done that. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he proposed doing. He would have done that from day one. See, Ted Cruz would have been like Ronald Reagan in terms of leadership ability. Ted Cruz, like Ronald Reagan, immediately would have been the commander-in-chief. It would be clear he was in charge. You would have consistent leadership, not scatterbrained, crazy chaos every day like you have with Trump. Cruz wouldn't have been appointing all of these establishment whores that ended up stabbing Trump in the back, and then he throws them out, and then he appoints other establishment whores to replace them. I mean, it's just been a catastrophe. The Trump's administration is a joke, an incompetent joke. And everybody who understands anything about the way the government works knows that it's a joke. That is the solution that we could have had. So with Republican majority support in both houses of Congress, you could have gotten the money for the wall. You could have gotten those appropriations through. If Trump had made this his number one priority from the start, for instance, let me give you another example of what he did, where they did get it through without requiring a filibuster. They used the nuclear option to get through Trump's tax cuts for the billionaires. And I say tax cuts for the billionaires because Trump's so-called tax cut bill, which he did push for immediately, that he pushed very hard for immediately, that tax cut bill was a tax increase for the middle class. The middle class is going to pay higher taxes on average because of Trump's tax bill. Cruz, on the other hand, would have given the middle class a tax cut. He would have given a tax cut across the board for everybody, but there also would have been a tax cut for the middle class. Whereas Trump increased taxes on the middle class to give a bigger tax cut to people like himself, which is also going to turn into something that's unpopular, and it was unpopular in last November's election. His so-called tax cut actually boomeranged and hurt the Republicans in last November's election. Because middle-class taxpayers saw that their taxes did not go down. In most cases, they went up. For the average middle-class taxpayer, their taxes went up under Trump's tax plan. So, just as he did with taxes, just as he did with other budgetary matters, just as he did with judicial appointments, all he had to do was get McConnell to eliminate the nuclear option. Just eliminate the nuclear option when it comes to funding these various departments. And then he would have gotten the funding for his wall. And they would have started building the wall. And the wall, you know, if they had started doing it on an emergency, massive emergency basis, when I don't mean declaring an emergency, but they would have done it quickly and efficiently, which with real presidential leadership, it could have been done, especially if the funds had been appropriated by the Congress already. If that had been done, the wall would have been built by now. It would have been over. Instead, for 2 years, Trump backed down. Every 6 months when budgetary issues came up, he backed down and said, okay, we're going to bring it up again in 6 months. He let the issue go for 2 years. And he was going to let it go again until Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh and others warned him that if he does this, he's going to lose all of his support from the base, because he was going to forget about the wall completely. He was about to do that. And Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter and all these others started attacking him and saying to him, if you do this, this was your number one campaign promise. You do this, we'll never support you. You're finished. So he let it go for 2 years, abandoned the wall, abandoned the whole issue for 2 years. And now he's bringing it up and causing a shutdown when it's too late. Now the Democrats control the House. It's too late. The Democrats are not going to vote to fund the wall now. What a disaster. What a disaster. Now, as far as immigration is concerned, by the way, the levels of illegal immigrants who are coming to the United States is just as high now. In fact, on average, even higher than it was during most of Obama's administration, during the Obama years. He has not prevented illegal immigration at all. He hasn't reduced the number of people crossing into this country illegally or the number of people coming to port entry illegally, in other words, coming to airports and other places illegally. He hasn't reduced that at all. Despite all the bluster and all the talk, look at the statistics. Look at the statistics. There's been no improvement on this issue. He's making America great again. America is going down the drain just as fast, if not faster, than it was under Obama. He's spending money at a faster rate than Obama. The budget deficits are higher than they were under Obama. The national debt is growing faster than it was under Obama. And when Obama was increasing national debt, Trump told us over and over again in his speeches that this was going to lead to national bankruptcy. That you couldn't have a situation like this. Well, it's going to lead to national bankruptcy. He's spending money even faster. There's more bloated spending and wasteful spending in the government budgets that are passed under Trump and the Republicans in Congress than you had under Obama. And again, there was no money for the wall all these years. So this is what happens when you have an incompetent buffoon, and we warned you in the 2016 presidential election. We've warned you now that this is what you get. You should have supported Ted Cruz. This is what you get. You know you wanted Trump. You like Trump. How stupid could you be? How stupid could people have been? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so now we have a situation where for the first 2 years you had a Republican majority in the House and a Republican majority in the Senate, so it was doable. Now the Democrats control the House. You're not going to get a wall built with the Democrats controlling the House. Now, he may declare an emergency, national emergency. Then the issue will be tied up in the courts. And you'll see the Republicans that he's appointed to the courts are going to rule against, a lot of them are going to rule against him. You know, because he's appointed Washington establishment Republicans to the courts that are elitists, that are part of the Washington elite. They agree with the Democrats on these issues. This is a catastrophe. Are you still going to say, I'm asking you now this, are you still going to say that Trump's presidency was a success and that you're happy he was elected? If number one, no wall is built, and number two, he's defeated for re-election in 2 years and you get a socialist Democrat take over and America becomes socialist as a result of Trump's presidency discrediting conservatism and republicanism and the Democrats seize control of the government. If that happens in 2 years in the presidential election, which I think probably will happen, I hope not, but I think it probably will. If that happens in 2 years, are you still going to say Trump's presidency was a success, or are you going to admit that we were right? Are you going to admit we were right when we warned you that you should get a competent, strong, consistent conservative, a real conservative, an evangelical Christian who believes in the Bible and he's consistent and steady and stable like Ted Cruz? Wouldn't that have been better? And Ted Cruz, by the way, would have beaten Hillary Clinton in the popular vote as well. Ted Cruz would have beaten her in those debates. Do you see how well Ted Cruz debates? He's a great debater. He's a great speaker. He speaks, he's like Ronald Reagan when he speaks. He's smooth, he's consistent, brilliant. I know you people, you Trumpsters are impressed when you hear Trump speaking, but most Americans don't agree with you. Most Americans think Trump is a terrible speaker. They consider him to be like a clown when he gets up there and starts making these statements and falsehoods and crazy and has no idea what he's talking about and throws out statistics that make no sense. Most Americans don't buy what you people have bought. You people who support Trump, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. Most Americans don't agree with you. Now, is it possible that JTF will support Trump for re-election? It's very possible, because the Democrat might be worse. The socialist Democrat might be worse. So we might support him for re-election in 2020. But I'm not at all optimistic that he's going to get reelected. I think he's been a complete incompetent buffoon, and I think he's screwing everything up, and I think he's doing terrible harm. And you elected a president like this at the tipping point, when America was at the tipping point, the point of no return, when America's on the verge of becoming majority non-white, third world people are moving across the border and increasing in their birth rate. You know, white Americans now have negative population growth, like in Europe. In other words, every year, more white people die than are born. The white population is declining. The other populations, the minority populations, are growing. They have natural birth increases, and they have illegal immigration to further bolster their numbers. So they're almost 40% of the population now, almost 40%. And at this rate, you know, it's going to become impossible to stop them from becoming majority. What will America look like when America's majority of America is from third world countries, are people from third world countries? What will America be like? It'll be like California. California's majority third world. California is hopelessly left wing now. You can't elect a Republican dog catcher in that. Well, there are certain sections of California where you have a Republican congressman, or certain sections, but statewide, for decades now, every single statewide position is only Democrats get elected. Republicans can't get elected unless it's a phony Republican like Arnold Schwarzenegger got elected governor, but he wasn't a Republican. He wasn't a real Republican. So this is what we're up against here. What a terrible, terrible, disastrous mistake you made in supporting Donald Trump and his horrible, horrible family, Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump and the horrible, immoral people in his family. They just, you know, they passed a so-called prison reform bill where they're going to release hundreds of thousands of criminals and release them early. Ronald Reagan passed a crime bill that put them away for long periods of time and put drug dealers away for long periods of time. Trump and Jared Kushner said they wanted an end to that. They wanted to let them go. They want to release them. They say they're nonviolent drug dealers. Nonviolent? People who sell heroin and cocaine and crack, who sell poison to children and destroy entire communities, are nonviolent? Someone who sells drugs, and the average drug pusher who goes to prison, the average one who goes to prison, is actually selling to thousands of people, to thousands of users. That's like mass murder. That's like murdering people. That's selling poison to thousands of people. You know what blight that causes? In whole neighborhoods, whole communities are destroyed and devastated by this. And Donald Trump wants to release these people now? He says that it's racist. Jared Kushner said it was racist. You're going to see the crime rate go up as well as a result of this. Oh, boy. How insane. Opioid deaths are at record levels among whites. White people are dying of opioid addictions. Opioid overdoses, record high levels. White people have stopped having babies. Making America great again? Is this really making America great again? And yes, it is Trump who is contributing to this problem, because you have to have a president who has a spiritual basis for his beliefs, biblical basis for his beliefs. Ted Cruz was going to restore America's commitment to Israel according to the Bible, because he believed that according to the Bible you have to support Israel. And he believed in traditional marriage, and he was pro-life. Ted Cruz was going to give America hope for returning to the spiritual truths of the Bible. He was at least going to give America hope, something to stand on, some basis to fight back on. With Trump, you have nothing, no morality. He grabs women by the P word. He himself used to brag on the Howard Stern show how he commits adultery every time he gets married to his trophy wives, who themselves are ex-porn stars. He pays off porn stars. He goes to Russia and pays prostitutes to urinate on him, and he urinates on them. He's a pervert. This is what we have in the White House. This is, you know, in the 1990s when Bill Clinton did these things, Republicans and conservatives and evangelical Christians all said, this is the example you set. This is destroying America. You can't have a president who is so immoral. It destroys America. You're not setting a good example for America's youth, for America's future. You can't have success when you have such an immoral president that goes against everything God commands us to do. That's what they said about Bill Clinton in the 1990s. Now that Donald Trump does all of the same things Bill Clinton did, and then some, for Donald Trump, they make excuses. The same things they attack Bill Clinton for, they excuse when it comes to Donald Trump. What they said about Clinton was true, and it's also true for Trump. You can't have an immoral president, an evil president, who doesn't believe in the things that the Bible commands America to believe in. You can't have success with a leader like that. A leader like that will never bring you success. Only failure. Anyway, we told you so, we warned you, and you didn't understand then, and most of you don't understand now. You will understand eventually, but by then it's going to be too late. It may already be too late. I hope not, but it may already be too late to turn things around. It probably is. The second issue we want to speak about on the program this week is Moshe Feiglin's housing plan. You know, in Israel, in many parts of Israel, you can't get a house for less than $1 million. $1 million. The average Israeli can't afford that. The vast majority of Israelis can't afford that. They don't even come close to that. This prices them right out of the market. And why are housing prices so expensive under Netanyahu? They weren't, by the way, before Netanyahu became prime minister. He created this housing crisis. Netanyahu and the Likud, they created this housing crisis. So-called right-wing government. Netanyahu is like Trump, you know, phony right. The reason you have this crisis, over 90% of the land in the state of Israel is owned by the government. It's called government state land or government-owned land. Moshe Feiglin wants to take this state-owned land and distribute it to the Israeli people. Give it to the people. Return it to the people. Open it up, privatize it, and create a private free market. If you did that, if you privatized over 90% of the land in Israel that's state-owned, you started privatizing this land, housing prices would go down substantially. Also, the majority of that million, remember I said that you can't get a house for less than $1 million in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and many parts of Israel now? The majority of that $1 million is taxes. Taxes. The government makes taxes you with such high taxes in Israel that 55-60% of your expense for the house is paying taxes to the government. Not paying for the house, but paying taxes. It's insane. Moshe Feiglin intends to drastically cut those taxes. Drastically. For instance, there's a 25% tax automatically. Just a crazy 25% tax that they impose before you pay anything. It's automatically a 25% tax. He wants to eliminate that completely. And then other taxes he wants to reduce. A drastic cut in taxes. Opening up Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem to building again because Netanyahu has frozen Jewish building there in order to create a Palestinian state, so-called, even though there are no Palestinians, there is no Palestine. But Netanyahu supports the creation of a state like that. Yes, he really does. And he's freezing Jewish settlement to prevent the Jews from having enough Jews to move in to permanently prevent that from happening, to prevent an Arab state from arising. Feiglin is going to open up all of Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem to building again. Feiglin is going to privatize privatize the state-owned lands and drastically reduce the massive taxation on purchase of a new house. The result of all of that, you'll see a huge decrease in the price of houses in Israel. You'll see a housing boom in Israel if that happens. And there'll be a massive boom in housing in Judea and Samaria. And hundreds of thousands of Jews will move there, and that will prevent the creation of a so-called Palestinian state. Also, Feiglin intends, of course, to offer money to the Arabs to leave Israel, and the majority of them would like to leave, especially if they're offered compensation to leave. And so you'll also see huge numbers of Arabs leaving Israel, which of course will also greatly benefit the state of Israel. How is it that Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party, the only party that says anything that makes sense, is ignored by all the powers that be, shut out of the political process? And the polls show he's not even getting the minimum threshold he needs to get into the Knesset. To get into the Knesset, you need 3.25% of the vote, or a minimum of 4 seats out of 120 seats in the Knesset. You have 120 seats in the Israeli parliament, the Israeli Knesset. You need to win a minimum of 4, which is 3.25% of the total vote, in order to pass the minimum threshold. Otherwise, you don't get in. If you don't pass the minimum threshold, you're out. All of your votes go down the drain. The polls show that Feiglin isn't even getting that. He is doing better than he was before. He's moving up, and there is progress being made. And I think he has a chance. There's progress being made. I don't know if he's going to win, if he's going to get in the Knesset, but he has a chance. And it's worth supporting him, whether he wins or doesn't win, or whatever the situation, whatever the odds are, it's worth supporting him because all the other parties are bad. None of them are telling the truth. None of them stand for the truth. They're all doing things that are harmful to Israel. Only Feiglin is proposing things that would help Israel. Only Feiglin and the Zehut Party. So we're running an advertising campaign. We're getting an average of 5,000 to 6,000 views a day on our videos. 5,000 to 6,000 views a day. And that's the paid advertising campaign. We also have a lot of videos that are up there, which, you know, are not part of our paid advertising, which are also getting views. So we're trying to reach the people of Israel as best we can. We're trying to go against this massive brainwashing campaign that they get from the media and the huge advertising of the big political parties that have tens of millions of dollars. It's very hard to compete against all that. We're doing our best. So we're reaching thousands of Israelis every day with our message. It's true they only see one quick commercial from us, a 60-second or 70-second commercial. It varies. Some of our commercials, by the way, one of our videos is actually only 32 seconds. And then one of them, I think, is 1 minute and 42 seconds. It's from 32 seconds to 1 minute and 42 seconds now. We're running 6 videos we're advertising. One is the shortest is 32 seconds. The longest is 1 minute and 42 seconds. Is that enough to change all the brainwashing and all the hours and days and years of brainwashing that people get? It's an uphill battle. It's hard. But at least we're exposing Israelis, Israeli Jews, to truth. Thousands of Israeli Jews are being exposed to some truth that makes sense. And some of the people who see our videos say, you know, you make sense. I never thought of that. You make sense. You're right. Well, those are the responses we're getting. So I think it makes somewhat of a difference. How much of a difference it makes? Will it be enough in order to get him a victory less than 3 months from now on April 9th in the election? I don't know. I don't know. But we're trying our best, and we're obligated to try our best. And win or lose, we've got to bring the truth to the people of Israel. We've got to run this campaign, and we've got to bring the truth to the people of Israel. We're obligated to do that. And I don't agree with Feiglin on all the issues, but on the housing issue, I agree with him. On a free market, I agree with him. All the other parties are socialist. All the other parties believe in the high taxation, high spending, huge bureaucracy. None of the other parties are proposing dismantling Israel's socialist bureaucracy. Only Feiglin and the Zehut Party propose that. Baruch Marzel, Itamar Ben-Gvir, and the Michael Ben-Ari, who are running on the Otzma Party. They're socialists. They condemned Netanyahu when he was Treasury Minister for making cuts in the budget. They're against cuts, so they want to spend even more. Netanyahu wasn't even really making cuts. They weren't real cuts. They were the little pinprick decreases in the amount of money that is increased every year in spending. A complete farce, and even that was too much for Marzel. He criticized Netanyahu on that because he's a socialist. They're all socialists. Only Feiglin and the Zehut Party offer a comprehensive program that would create true prosperity in Israel and a true free market that would cause Israel to truly flourish. We're doing our best to bring the truth to the people of Israel. We need your help. The more you help us, the more people we can reach. And when the campaign is over on April 9th, when the people vote, even after that, we got to continue to reach the people of Israel with the truth. We've got to continue. This is something that has to take place not just during election time. It has to take place all year round. We've got to make sure that Jews get a message of truth. And JTF is the group that brings the truth to the people of Israel. We are the uncompromising, true right wing in Israel. If you agree that the time has come to bring the truth to the people of Israel, if you want to help to reach thousands of Israeli Jews with the truth that no one else will tell them, then you should support JTF. Support us financially. Help us financially. Help us by spreading the word about JTF all over so that we become bigger and have more support and can do more and can reach more Israeli Jews. If we work together as a team, we can make a difference. We can reach people. How fast we change things, I don't know. But we're actually reaching people with a message. What's better than that? What's more important than that? Nothing is more important than that. And God willing, halevai, that we'd be able to reach much more people and bring a much bigger message to people, then we'd have a bigger impact. We've got to have the biggest impact we can possibly have and do the best we can. That's our obligation. Only JTF, as far as American groups are concerned, the American Jewish groups, only JTF is doing that. If we work together as a team, we can still make this a better world. And we can make a difference and change Jewish history, God willing. Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.